Everyone. Unfortunately, Keith Helliwell cannot be with us this morning, so a big thank you to all of those who have stepped in at the last minute to take part in our service this morning, particularly to Laura, who is stepping in with a theme and a message, and also thank you to Zoe and Seth and the music group for stepping in while Sandra takes a well-earned rest. This week's notices: Tuesday 7:30, house group on Zoom, Sunday morning link. We're continuing our study of Isaiah, and I think we are
last one
this week, but still worth a visit. So, you know, come along and listen. It's a brilliant message, so you never know, you may learn something. Wednesday 10 a.m. at coffee morning. Sunday 25th, after morning worship, there will be a church meeting, but there will be a lunch provided. So if you have any special dietary requirements, please talk to Joy. And now, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We will now sing, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
The reading today is from Psalms 95, verses 1 to 7. Come, let us praise the Lord. Let us sing for joy to God who protects us. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and sing joyful songs of praise. For the Lord is a mighty God, a mighty king over all the gods. He rules over the whole earth, from the deepest caves to the highest hills. He rules over the sea, which he made, the land also, which he himself formed. Come, let us bow down and worship him. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. We are the people he cares for, the flock for which he provides.
Thank you. The reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Mary anoints Christ. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take out what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have always, but me you do not have always." Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. And now we will sing in celebration of our love for Jesus, "Let There Be Love."
I've had an emergency sermon in my bag for the last couple of years. Somebody suggested that I ought to have one, so it's been in my music bag, the notes there, just in case
somebody couldn't make it at short notice. The irony is, the only time that it's happened, it was me that couldn't make it at short notice. If you were here at the carol service, you will have seen my face on the screen in a video message. I'm so glad I wasn't here to see that. But then on the other hand, if I'd been here, my face wouldn't have been there on the video message. Perhaps we should be thankful that we've got the technology to overcome these problems sometimes. But when Keith said to me last week we'd be having songs of praise because Keith Helliwell couldn't make it, and could I bring the message, I thought about this emergency sermon that I'd had in my bag, and it seemed appropriate. It's on the passage about Mary and the perfume, and it seemed appropriate because it's a theme of worship and of praise and of thanksgiving to God. So it wasn't really an emergency because I've had 7 days' notice, but it seemed like the right one. So I want to think about that passage this morning. There's a lot to be said for celebrating in the here and now, isn't there? As the Bible would say, living life in its fullness, giving thanks in all circumstances, and being generous and wholehearted in our thanks to God. Perhaps there's a bit of a human tendency to dwell on the past, to look back at the way things were, or how things might have been, how things perhaps could have been better, and maybe to worry about the future as well, about what's going to happen. And maybe we have something to learn from Mary of Bethany in this incident. She was wholehearted and generous and exuberant in her worship. And although it's a bit of a strange thing to do, perhaps, it was entirely appropriate for her to do this. So if we take a look at the background of this passage, what happened before in John's Gospel is that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and word spreads, and the religious leaders don't like it. They feel undermined, they worry about the Romans that are occupying their land, and they begin to plot to kill Jesus. Jesus has already talked about his death, but we're not really sure if the disciples understood what was going to happen, or indeed how imminent his death was going to be. And then after this passage, we've got the entry into Jerusalem that we celebrate on Palm Sunday, and following that, the Last Supper, and of course the crucifixion and the resurrection after that. This isn't the only time that we read about Jesus being anointed with perfume in the Gospels. In Matthew and in Mark, it's at the house of somebody called Simon the leper, and we read that his head rather than his feet are anointed with perfume. And it looks like this is probably the same occasion that Matthew and Mark are talking about. And then in Luke, we read about his feet being anointed with oil at the house of somebody called Simon the Pharisee. Now, there's a lot of Simons in the Bible, and there's a lot of Marys in the Bible, so it can get a bit confusing. So we have Simon the leper and Simon the Pharisee living in different places. Simon the Pharisee lives in Galilee, and we read that Jesus then was anointed by somebody who's just referred to as a sinful woman. So it doesn't look like it's Mary of Bethany. There's various things I've read about these accounts, about which might be the same occasion and which might not. My thoughts are that it's probably three different occasions that this has happened. As an aside, before we think about Mary, I just want to get one verse out of the way, which is where Jesus says, "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Because this is a verse that often seems to be quoted out of context, as if to say, well, Jesus is saying, that's just the way it is. We'll always have the poor among us. There's nothing we can do about it. So was Jesus not bothered about helping the poor then? Well, of course he was. There's so much in the Bible about helping the poor. Let me just read you a couple of things that Jesus himself said. also in Matthew's Gospel. This is where he gives the parable about the sheep and the goats. So he's talking about a time of judgment when people will be separated. And he's talking about the righteous and the unrighteous. And he says this, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?' Then the king will reply," the king, the judge, this is God, "'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me.'" And then Jesus goes on to talk about the unrighteous, and he says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." So he's obviously very concerned about the poor and the needy and what we do about it. And then in Luke, we read these words. Jesus is reading the scriptures in the temple. This is one of my favourite readings. And he's quoting from Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and a recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus is saying, this is the reason I came, to proclaim the good news to the poor. You may also remember he had this conversation with a rich young man and tells him that he needs to sell his possessions and give to the poor. And there's so many other occasions when Jesus talks about giving humbly and generously. He talks about the widow's mite, doesn't he? And sharing possessions. And if we look in the book of Acts, in the early church, if we look at the letters, we see this theme again about sharing possessions, giving to the poor. And in the Old Testament, if we look at the Old Testament laws, there's so much about justice and compassion and looking after those who can't look after themselves. Let me just read you the context of this verse as well. I'm reading from the NIV here. Reading from verse 4. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray Jesus, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you. You will not always have me." So these words, Jesus is saying, this is for my burial. I am soon to die. He knew it. And this was a little rebuke to Judas. His motive wasn't to help the poor. He was a thief. Jesus knew this. John, who's writing it down, obviously knew this as well. There'd be plenty of opportunities for Judas to give to the poor if he wanted to. So let's go back to Mary, the central character of this passage. Who is she? Who are her siblings? Her sister is Martha. Martha, who's busy serving, who is known to be the person who is busy serving, but somebody also who has a deep understanding. She's just had this conversation with Jesus about resurrection, where she says, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And then Lazarus is their brother, who was raised from the dead. And Lazarus is somebody that Jesus cared about very deeply. Lazarus is a good friend. And then there's Mary who sat and listened at Jesus' feet. So these people are his friends, his second family maybe, people that Jesus felt comfortable with. He ate with them and they keep appearing in the Gospels. Did you notice at the end of the passage there what the chief priests are up to? They're not just plotting to kill Jesus, but they're plotting to kill Lazarus as well. That's a bit ironic, isn't it? So Lazarus has just been raised from the dead, and because he's been raised from the dead, they're plotting to kill him. We don't know if they succeeded or whether he died naturally, but it seems a bit strange, doesn't it? So what I'd like you to do this morning is to picture the scene in your mind's eye. Go back to Bethany and watch these events unfold. Perhaps imagine that you're someone there in the crowd and you're watching all this happen. So Lazarus is there. He's one of the guests. He's been raised, and therefore this meal is in Jesus' honour. There's perhaps a bit of a curiosity wanting to see this Lazarus that's been raised from the dead. It's perhaps a bit of a happy occasion, a bit of a buzz about the occasion. And the guests there are reclining, not sitting at a table as we would, but in the style of the Middle East, where they'd be reclining with their feet out. And Martha is busy serving. Who else is there? Maybe the disciples, maybe some of the wider family. And we're told about this crowd that is appearing outside, curious. And Mary brings out this perfume. What will she do? Was it something that was spontaneous? How long had she saved it for? How long had she planned to do this for? Then she starts pouring it on his feet. Not just a bit, but the whole lot goes on Jesus' feet. And then she bends down and she wipes his feet with her hair. What's the reaction of the people around? Do they gasp? Are there a few raised eyebrows? Are people tutting? Is there muttering? Maybe some are happy about it. Well done, Mary. Give her a bit of a clap, a bit of a cheer. And the perfume fills the air, and it's one of those wow moments. And you hear Judas starting to grumble. What a waste! What a waste! This is worth a year's wages. We could have given this to the poor. Are there others agreeing, saying, yeah, what a waste, what a waste? Or are there others on the other side groaning and going, oh no, Judas again. He just wants it for himself. He's a thief, you know. And what will Jesus say? Leave her alone. It was intended for me, for my burial. Profound words. What does he mean? Do the people around understand what he's talking about? Do they know who Jesus is? We know that Martha does. We know that Martha has a good understanding because of her words previously. Mary also has some idea. Lazarus, you would have thought, would have done. But do some of the crowd begin to understand who Jesus is? Do they know what the chief priests are plotting? How large is the crowd? Are there some people coming into the house now? Do they smell this perfume, even from outside? Will they remember it? Will they smell this same perfume in years to come, and it'll take them back to this event? So I just want to leave you thinking about Mary and her offering, this anointing of his feet as an act of worship and as an act of thanks. This is an act of humility. She actually wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. I don't know if it makes you think of anything. There's something that will soon happen where Jesus washes his disciples' feet, a similar act of humility. It's an act of generosity and extravagance. She used the whole lot, worth a year's wages. It's an act of gratitude for Mary. Why? Because Jesus had raised her brother from the dead. And Jesus would go on himself to conquer death for us all. So this is a fleeting but significant event in the Gospels. It's a beautiful thing. It must have been very memorable, and it's very appropriate. It's right from Mary's heart, and it's a recognition of who Jesus is. She is recognising who Jesus is. And what is she showing us? What can we learn from her? Well, I think we can learn to worship generously and wholeheartedly. Let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Lord, teach us to worship wholeheartedly. We pray that you would show us how. We recognise, Lord, that sometimes we hold back our worship. Sometimes we get distracted or wrapped up in trivial things. Father God, there are some times in our lives where we barely acknowledge that you're there. We thank you that as we bless you, we are also blessed. Lord, we want to be more like Mary this morning, humble and grateful and generous in our worship. So show us how. Show us how in our gathering for worship together, but also, Lord, show us how in our daily lives. Amen. So we are going to sing again. We're going to sing, Father, We Love You. And then after that, we're going to have some songs on video, which you can either just watch, or if you know them, you can join in.
Before we play the videos, what I suggest, Joy, is we'll play, is she listening, Joy? We'll play two videos and then we'll do the prayers and then we'll perhaps do another video afterwards, all right? But the first one we're going to show you, you might recognise it because Sandra played it last week before the service, and apparently Peter has requested it next week in the service. I did forget to tell Julie that it's Peter Strong next week, and he's coming to finish the sermon that he didn't finish a few weeks ago, if you will remember. So perhaps we could watch the video, Seth.
Out of the silence, the roaring light.
Shoulder in that song.
Let us bring our prayers. Heavenly Father, we bring to you our prayers for other people. We ask you to be with the people of Ukraine, the floods, the suffering, and the loss of homes and their friends and families. Let them feel your love and peace. We think of the families of the attack in France this week, children being attacked and hurt. Let all involved feel your love and peace. We also thank you for the safe return of the children in Colombia. They lasted a month in the jungle, 40 days in the jungle. We also think of Mark and Andrew and Chad doing your work in a very difficult area. Be with them and all the people they work with and look after and help. We think of us and our churches in Kettering, especially Rockingham Road and Fuller, who are at the start of their journeys without a minister. We think of our church family, who, especially those who have lost loved ones. We think of Jeanette and Keith, June Stewart, and all their families. We also think of Nora Smith's family, and let them all feel your peace and love. We ask you to be with us as well, as again we bring to you to the front of our minds. We ask you to think of our future. Let us listen to you and let you guide us down the road to the way you want us to go. We know this is difficult and sometimes we don't always listen, but give us the strength to listen to your word. We think this morning as well of Diane Neal, who's had a cataract operation, and we also ask you to be with Keith Helliwell. And we also think of all our friends who are unable to come to church anymore, who live in homes or unable to get here. We think of them often in our church family. Let them feel your peace and love always. We ask you to be with each one of us as we leave your house and go out into this dip world, which is sometimes very difficult for lots of people. Guide us and give us strength, Lord. But let us feel your love as well. We ask this in your name. Amen. Oh, now the song's finishing. And we go on to the next hymn, which is Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Thank you.
In a moment, we'll just say the grace together, and then we're going to have another video song, but you're welcome to get up and get a cup of coffee and chat while the video song's playing. But before we finish, I just want to thank Seth. Well, I think that's the first time you've played in morning worship. Well done. And Zoe, who came home specially to play. She didn't really. And the other musicians, of course. And Bill, that's the first time you've read this in their church, isn't it, this morning? So, it's all right, you needn't apologise, Seth, it's fine. It wouldn't be Carey if it wasn't something going wrong. Anyway, shall we say the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Take your turn to side. turn.